Hi there. So glad you could be with us today for The Road to Reality. In just a moment, we're going to hear from K.P. Yohannan, who today is going to offer up a few lessons in leadership from 2 Timothy chapter 1. If your goal in life is to please God, this is definitely something you need to hear. KP will be pointing out some of the qualifications and qualities of a Christian worker or servant of God.
We'll begin with chapter 1 in 2 Timothy. Character of a Christian worker or a Christian leader. Who is he? What is he about? What kind of material this Christian worker or a leader made of? What are his qualifications and qualities? Many, many questions. And I believe God's word, especially in this small letter Paul wrote to this young Christian leader, Timothy, has the answers. First of all, this individual is someone who is called by the Lord. Everything of his behavior, attitude, character, everything of has to do with his work. All this is made up, influenced, guided, regulated by this one factor, that his life, his conduct is based on this thing that he is called by the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul simply begins, as he normally writes, says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul wants to impress upon this young man, Timothy, I just wanted to know, 30 years I've been running this race, and I didn't start this because I wanted to do it. It's not because Barnabas called me to do it. Not because some church paid me. Not because my parents said he will be a servant of God. No, Timothy, it was not even my own choice. It is not my will, my choice. He called me. It's not organization. It is not some human being. It's not a Bible school. It is not some big offer that became the reason for the call. No, he call me. I am by his will. In chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, who saved us and called us. He called. And then in verse 11 of chapter 1, I was appointed as a preacher by the Lord. That reminds me of that verse in Mark 3:14 about Jesus. He appointed those 12 to be his disciples, his apostles. And he called them. Then Matthew 28, now he sent them out. Moses didn't call himself. I mean, it will be a funny thing and kind of a crazy thing to do, to walk away from the possibility of being the leader of the most powerful nation on earth, ancient Egypt. And then to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years looking after not your own sheep, but someone else, and someone else, your father-in-law's. Think about that. He didn't do it by himself. The Lord called him. Amos, when they said, what is wrong with you, man? He said, don't blame me. My father is not a prophet. Nobody in our family is doing this thing. I was going around picking sycamore fruits, and all of a sudden he calls me and says, I want you to go and be a preacher. I didn't do it. He called me. Jonah was called, but he didn't want to do it, but God wouldn't let him go. No, he was called. I want to ask you a personal question. Very sober, deliberate. Here is a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus has called you to serve him? Have we ever heard him saying to you, come, follow me, be with me, and I will send you. Have we ever heard the call? What is the difference between a call and a profession? Here it is. Someone said, a job, a profession is one you choose. A ministry is one Christ chooses for you. A job depends on your abilities. A ministry depends on your availability to God. In a job, you expect to receive something, a salary. In a ministry, you expect to give. A job well done brings you self-esteem. A ministry well done brings honor to Jesus Christ. In a job, you give something to get something. In a ministry, you return something that has already been given to you. A job well done has a temporal reward. A ministry well done has eternal rewards. 15 years ago, this young lad was led to Jesus by Paul and sensed in him a heart for God. And Paul decided to invest his life in Timothy. There was another young man named Titus. So Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2 about Timothy, I have no one like him who care for the things of Christ. No wonder why Paul left Timothy at Ephesus after his first arrest to take care of the church. Now you read 1 Timothy to understand the responsibilities that was committed to Timothy to do the work of the ministry and things he must do. Now, Paul knows his death is imminent. And Timothy is young and inexperienced and inadequate to carry on the ministry. That throws me off completely. You mean after 15 to 20 years of being discipled, mentored, taught by great Apostle Paul, Timothy was not able to handle it? Yes. Last night, as all our dear brothers and sisters walking around here, I turned to one of the brother I was talking and said to him, oh my, how young they are. So many young people. Then somebody who just joined the conversation said, yeah, 25 to 35 years old. But you know what the problem is? Responsibility is being committed to young people like you. Responsibilities that should be committed to people 45, 50, 60 years old with 20, 30 years of ministry experience of pain and anguish and suffering and sacrifice and God's attesting their life. But why? How? I don't know. I find some encouragement and hope in this. When the Lord called me, I was 16 years old. When I became a leader to lead others in the ministry, I was barely 19 years old. I was coordinating a whole region when I was 22 years old. If God could do that with me, a fragile, weak, insecure individual, I see much hope. But then too, I think about Timothy, there is hope. So the lesson is here. What you become, your character, your formation, your behavior, your responses, attitude, your evaluation, your making decisions, your action, depends on your deep, deep conviction. The Lord has called me to serve him. How can I do this? How can I say this? How can I take this? I can't. See how important the call is. Timothy was still very young. Chapter 2, verse 22, Paul says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And Timothy knew that. How do you feel about yourself? He said, I don't know. I happen to be in this movement and I don't know. Yeah, the Lord gave me this responsibility. Now, I didn't know I was going to do it, but I'm teaching in this training center. I never thought about it. So I say, how did that happen? You may feel inadequate. You may feel you are young. You don't know much. You struggle just to maintain even the image of somebody calling you a teacher. You sit late in the night and reading through the books, trying to find out something to say so nobody will think that you don't know much. Or you're trying to figure out what to do about the decision. And enough wrong decisions you made that you feel terrible about it. And maybe you are feeling it was a mistake. I'm given responsibility. Maybe I should get out of it. Well, Timothy was young too. If you feel discouraged and you are inexperienced, if you know it, you are in good shape. If you don't know it, if you think you are able and mature and you will succeed, then you are in trouble.
Hey, thank you for joining us today for The Road to Reality. And don't rush away. KP Yohannan will be right back. Now, before we get back to KP, we'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity to be a support to the many men and women that serve behind the scenes here at GFA in the administrative offices. Although they serve in offices far from the mission field in Asia, their role is vital to the ministry. From answering phones to maintaining the buildings or writing publications, these dedicated servants are in it for the glory of God. Now, if you would like to stand with them with either a one-time gift or ongoing support, or even just learn a little bit more about GFA's mission support team, simply go to roadtoreality.org. That's roadtoreality.org. Or call us at 866-946-2742. Again, 866-946-2742. If you live in Canada, you can visit roadtoreality.ca or call us at 888-946-2742. That was some more lessons now on leadership from 2 Timothy. Once again, here's KP.
Secondly, Timothy was prone to illness. He was sickly, not got a cold this month and after 2 years he get next cold. No. It was a continuous problem he had to live with, physical illness. So Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, Paul, Timothy, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and the frequent illness you have. So I'm not recommending you go and get drunk, please. I'm simply saying to you, Timothy was one who lived with physical deficiency. Are you living with something like that? And you're called to do something huge and significant? You say, my God, I'm not able to handle it. I'm tired, I'm sick. Well, Timothy was one like that. Thirdly, he was timid. He was an introvert. Very shy. So many verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 to 8, chapter 2 verse 1, chapter 3 verse 12, and chapter 4 verse 5. All these verses talk about even after 15 years or plus training, Paul still says, Timothy, get up. Don't be shy. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid. Naturally, Timothy was one who was not as sanguine by his makeup and temperament. He was not a type of personality, aggressive, a leader. No. If Timothy walked into a room, you will not find he is there, because he will hide somewhere. If you call him to lead, he will say, please, please don't you let him do it. No, Timothy was not one who naturally wanted to take any responsibility. He wanted to run away from any responsibility. How different from today's Christianity. People murmur and grumble and fight and squabble for position. I've been in it for 10 years. I'm not promoted. I am more able to teach than this fellow. Now look at him. Look at her. She is teaching, but I got a better degree. Or all kind of imaginations we live with. May we learn from Timothy. A.W. Tozer said this, a true and safe leader is likely to be the one who has no desire to lead, but it is forced into a position of leadership by the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit and the press of external situation. Such were Moses and David and the Old Testament prophets. I think there was hardly a great leader from Paul to the present day, but was drafted by the Holy Spirit for the task and commissioned by the Lord of the church to fill a position he had little heart for. I believe it might be accepted as a fairly reliable rule of thumb that the man who is ambitious to lead is disqualified as a leader. A true leader will have no desire to lord it over God's heritage, but will be humble, gentle, self-sacrificing, and altogether as ready to follow as to lead when the Spirit makes it clear that a wiser and more gifted man than himself has appeared. So was Barnabas when Paul came into the picture. So, what is a call? When my wife gave her life to the Lord as a teenager in Germany, she says immediately after that, there was such a distinct burden came upon her heart. I am called to be a missionary by the Lord. I want nothing else in my life. Having been born in this home in Germany, where by their circumstances and requirement, girls are sent to learn the social graces of the community and learn certain behaviors so they can be accepted in the elite in the society. So in this home, the two girls, my wife Gisela and her older sister. So when her parents said, it is time you should go to take these lessons, Gisela said, I can't. Why? Daddy, sorry, I can't, because I committed my life for full-time service of the Master. Jesus called me to be a missionary, and I cannot do it. Then she got hold of a coin, a South American coin with inscription on it and the head of a tribe, like we have coins with Gandhi's head or Nehru's head, and she put a hole in this coin and took a string and tied it, and she wore this as a necklace. She says, every time I stood in front of the mirror to wash my face or comb my hair, every single day, the first thing I saw, not only my face, but the coin hanging here on my neck. And that coin reminded me, I am called by the Lord. I must be different. I cannot be like others. When she was gone for her higher studies, she said dozens of her friends had so many things they're involved with, good things. But she said to herself, they can, I cannot. Her character, her formation, her decisions, everything, even buying clothes. When her sister would buy a new dress, so very often with the money that was given to them by the parents, Gisela would wear the old dress or keep the ones going, refuses to buy clothes and take the money and send it to a Wycliffe missionary working in South America who was translating Bible for 15 long years. But for you, Timothy, be different. Others can. They have the freedom. It is not wrong. But for you, be different. So what is the call? You cannot do anything else. The burden never leaves you. Nothing else can take that burden away. So what does that call do to us on the inside? One, it gives us the joy to forsake all, to give up all. The man who found the pearl of great price sold everything he had just to buy that. So it was with Abraham, born with silver, gold, plates and spoons, and he left all. So Moses left the ivory throne. So the disciples left their boats and their nets. It was after I left home in Bangalore attending the mission conference, along with hundreds of other young people. That night, the night of all nights, I never can forget when Jesus impressed upon my heart with such a burden to commit my life to go to North India. I wept through the night. I never forget that night. The pillow I was sleeping on was soaking wet with my tears. With fear and trembling, part of the prayer I prayed, kneeling beside that little bed, "Lord, I have nothing to give up. I don't have degrees. I have no money. I am not tall and big and healthy. I have no name. I have nothing, no reputation, nothing. All I have is this fragile little body of mine. You want it? I'll give it to you." That was the beginning of my journey.
We're receiving lessons in leadership from K.P. Yohannan here on The Road to Reality. And maybe you didn't realize it, but there are many men and women that serve behind the scenes here at GFA, from those that handle the maintenance to those that are engaged in office tasks. And there are many serving in administrative roles as well. They raise their own support. I didn't know if you knew that or not. And if you'd like to help them as they serve the Lord and others, please visit roadtoreality.org and read all about GFA's mission support team. It's a wonderful opportunity to enable others to fulfill their God-given role. That's roadtoreality.org. Or you can call us at 866-946-2742. Again, that's 866-946-2742. Our Canadian friends, you'll want to call 888-946-2742 or simply go to our website, roadtoreality.ca. And then come back next time when K.P. Yohannan will draw from Scripture and his own 50-year journey with God to help us live along the road to reality.